You're listening to A1R Psychic Radio, Earth's number one psychic radio network, and watching Moonstruck TV and Lightning Television. Welcome.
Time for Beyond the Loss, conversations in grief education and healing with Sherry Dworkin-Smith. Live from SherryDworkinSmith.com.
Connect direct. In North America, dial 888-454-2751. In London, 203-519-2158. In Sydney, dial 02-8488-3147. Or online, contact us through our Facebook page, facebook.com/psychicradio.
Or one of our websites,
askoneradio.com or moonstruck.tv.
This is Beyond the Law
on A1R, the Ask One Radio Network.
Hello, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the final episode of our Grief Education Podcast here on A1R. I'm Sherry Dworkin-Smith, and I am a certified grief educator, a psychic medium, and a hypnotherapist. I want to first thank A1R Radio for sharing this opportunity with me to be able to launch this podcast and share some really important conversations around grief. As a grief educator and coach, I help people navigate their individual grief journey by providing a safe space to share feelings. And in our time together, I truly hope that I have been able to do that. It has also been my goal to share some tools that help folks as they move through grief in more meaningful ways, so that we don't feel like we're just floundering around lost at sea. These are really important because they can help lessen those giant impact waves of grief when they come, because we know that they will. These are things that we can use to start building our Little Hops toolkit, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. Whatever kind of grief that you're carrying or have been carrying, whether your grief is fresh, anticipatory, or something that you've carried with you for years, it has been my hope to create a space where we can talk about it together. And I'm grateful to have been here, and I thank you for coming along on the journey. As I mentioned before, I have been doing this work for a long time, and in my work as a medium and as a grief educator and as a hypnotherapist, it feels like I talk to people who are dealing with some sort of grief every single day. Some people are overwhelmed by the grief that they're living with. Some are still carrying a grief they weren't even aware of. And others have been struggling with issues in their lives that they didn't have any idea were even related to grief. We need to be able to talk about these things. We need to open our mouths and our ears and learn that it is okay to talk about grief. It's okay to feel it. And it's important to listen. By bringing these conversations into the light, we can lift and support each other, and hopefully we can also help non-grievers have a better understanding of what's going on and how they can help. This is why I created the podcast. Our society doesn't talk about grief. It's not something we're taught, and we're not taught in school, we're not taught in our faith organizations, and a lot of people don't have these conversations at home. And most people have no idea what to say about grief, especially if to someone who's grieving. If you've ever been to a funeral or a memorial service, the one thing you are likely to hear over and over again is, "I don't know what to say, but." And there's no wrong thing that I don't want to say that. There are some wrong things that could come after that. But when we say, "I don't know what to say, but," and we speak from our heart and say, "I'm sorry, I'm with you, I'm praying for you, you're in my thoughts, I'm just being holding a space for you and being aware," those things can make a humongous difference. There is a real need in our society to be able to talk more openly about grief and loss, to let people know that it is okay to feel what they are feeling. There's not a wrong way to grieve. And I want to say that again. Grief is different for everyone, and there is not a wrong way to grieve. People tell me all the time, "I'm doing it wrong," or "something's wrong with me." There is not a wrong way to grieve. There are intense griefs that can feel concerning, that maybe we need a little more support and help. But there is not a wrong way to grieve. It is different for everyone, and your way that you are carrying your grief is your way. Now, let me say, I'm not a big supporter of self-medication with things like recreational drugs and alcohol with grief, because all that does is push those things to the side. The grief will still be there when we come back to reality, right, and sober up. So other than that, there is really no wrong way to grieve, and just as importantly, how we support those around us with words and actions that actually could bring comfort instead of doing the opposite is a real gap in our society and something that I truly hope we can work on. We are living in a very difficult time right now. There are wars happening, literally impacting us, regardless of what country you're watching or listening to this from. The war with Iran is impacting all of us. The war with Ukraine is impacting all of us. And there are so many other conflicts going on around the globe. People are struggling with disease still and illness. People are fighting for their rights. They are fighting over territory, or worse, they're watching innocent people get caught in the middle. We may know some people in this country whose immigration status puts them in jeopardy, or who have had someone taken away due to this situation. We may know people who are struggling with aging or dementia, long-term COVID, childhood cancers, miscarriages, job loss, friends moving away, abandonment. And right now on our planet, I feel safe in saying that a majority of people are dealing with some kind of grief and loss on a daily basis. And unfortunately, this is a fact of being alive on our planet right now. It is simply a tumultuous time in humanity's evolutionary history. The world is a loud and complicated place. Full stop. And let's not forget about that global pandemic thing that tore through our planet a couple of years back, and loads of people are still dealing with the consequences of that, either personally, professionally, within their communities, with long COVID, and various other industries as well. I have spoken with so many people who have told me, even now, 5 years, 6 years later, their industry, their business, their company is just now starting to be recovered and to be back where it was before the pandemic. And we can't escape the reality that in this country alone, in the United States, over 1 million people died during the pandemic. And that is 1 million people just in one country that are still struggling to deal with grief and loss, and likely several million more that are dealing with the loss of those friends and other loved ones, perhaps people in other countries. And since grief is not linear, and not everyone deals with grief in the same ways, and not everybody starts grieving the minute something happens, sometimes we have delayed grief. I remember when my grandparents, who were blessed, I was blessed to have them with me for so long into my adult life, and when they passed well into their 90s, I didn't cry at their funerals. It wasn't that I wasn't sad, and then we inherited their bedroom furniture, which was my grandfather's pride, and it sat in the guest room leaning against the wall for a long time because I wasn't ready to deal with it. And one day I came home and my husband had set it up in our bedroom, and seeing it set up in our room, the tears came flowing. That's delayed grief. And so not everybody grieves right at the moment that something happens. And as we've discussed before, regardless of your beliefs or your politics, this country, America, has a unique problem with people dying from gun violence. It is unique to our nation, certainly. And with rising rates of domestic violence, increasing inflation, out of control gas prices, job losses, rising rates of cancer diagnoses, especially in people younger and younger, people in their 30s and 40s, aging parents, for people who are in my age, my generation, we are in the sandwich generation, where we may be lucky enough to still have our parents with us that they need some extra help and some care. We may still be helping our children move into adulthood. So all of that increases the number of people on the planet, in the country, that are navigating some kind of grief. It is something that literally affects everyone, individuals, families, and whole communities. And regardless of who you are, at some point, grief is going to affect you, each and every one of us. It is just the fact of being alive on the planet. So now we have a society with an overabundance of grief and not nearly enough readily available tools to deal with it. And we're also dealing with a very real mental health crisis that is going on in our country that can be attributed to loneliness, the pandemic. It can be also attributed back to unprocessed and unacknowledged and unmanaged grief. We don't have the support systems for our healthcare professionals that they need to do the work that is facing our country, our society, really globally. So there is a lot that is going on. And it seems odd that the emotion and of grief and sadness seem like the only ones in our current society that is not understood or is pushed to the side. It's not tolerated. It wants to be buried and ignored. And sometimes it's just not even permitted. Too often, grief simply has no place in the conversation. And that's why we came here, why we've been coming together for week after week to try and talk about grief and to bring conversations of grief into the light, to share that there's not something wrong with you that needs to be fixed. You may be carrying something that you don't know how to carry or you don't know how to put down. And by having these conversations, we shine a light on things to help people understand that all of us are carrying something. All of us are likely dealing with some kind of grief. So grief is not a problem to be solved. It's something we learn to cohabitate with. It's something we learn to blend and fold into our life. And the more we can learn to speak about it, and the more we can learn to understand it, the more we can lift and support each other as we move through it. Because again, regardless of who you are and what phase of your life that you're in, we will all be affected by grief in our lives. That's just a fact. As a medium, I talk with people who have lost loved ones every single day, and people who may be struggling to make sense of the loss, or maybe they're just figuring out how to make their way through it. I've seen faces contorted in pain melt into softness and shoulders let go, knowing someone was able to witness and understand the grief that they've been carrying. Just being able to listen and hold that space can make a big difference. And it's always a privilege to me to share in that space and to be trusted to hold someone else's heart, to hold their pain. Yet our society resists. We don't like to be made to feel uncomfortable. We don't like to face our weaknesses, so we bury things deep down. And I find it really ironic because when we look at the local movie theaters and the movies that are the big hits on streaming or in the Cineplex, it's so often things of horror and violence, of places where we are just out of control and feel scared. So there's some aspect of us that likes to feel that scared, but we know it's not real. And grief is. And we don't like to be made to feel that way. We don't know how to handle being made to feel uncomfortable. As my friend says, for realsies. By bringing these conversations out into the open, we can reduce the stigma around grief and create a better path to greater education of what grief looks like and how we can better support people who are walking that path. And this is what I hope you will take away from our time here on this podcast. For millions of people, understanding their grief is seeing people crying in a church next to a coffin or by a grave. Many people think grief is what they see in the movies or in the news. And because it didn't affect them personally, they have a little understanding of how grief can show up, what it feels like, or what to say to someone who's dealing with it. And so that's why we came here together. And I hope through our time with this podcast that we have been able to create a window to be seen for grievers to be seen, to be heard, and to be supported as we brought through stories of grief and loss and we brought them out into the open. I know from my own experiences how frustrating it is that there are so few resources available to people dealing with grief. And it really has been a joy and an honor to share friends and colleagues with you and their resources, and that know that others are walking similar paths, and to share these stories to hopefully help those of you who are in need. I have mentioned Anderson Cooper's podcast called All There Is in the past, and it is certainly worth mentioning again. If you haven't listened, it's really worth checking out. He started this as a way to help him deal with his own intense grief at the passing of his mother, Gloria Vanderbilt. He realized after her passing and the suicide of his brother and the death of his father, he needed a way to process his grief, and he found few resources himself. An established and world-renowned journalist found few resources. What does that say about our priorities as a society? So he started reaching out to others, and others that he knew had faced difficult journeys as well. Not therapists. For the most part, he's been talking with regular people who were dealing with loss. He did speak with some who are trained mental health professionals, but for the most part, real people, regular people, finding their way through grief and loss. And not long ago, he interviewed the documentarian Ken Burns. And I love this quote that he shared, and I know I've shared it before. But he said, "I think we've done ourselves an extraordinary disservice, not just at a social political level, but at an intimate level, if we can't let loss and grief be part of our common language." And I think that quote is so important. We separate ourselves from grievers. We don't allow ourselves to get close. We fear we might somehow get it on us, and we don't allow ourselves to be present and to be part of those intimate conversations. There are so many different kinds of grief. It's not just sadness or loss. There's so much more to it, and so many more things that can lead us to grief than we might immediately think about. And so I shared this information on our first podcast together, but I think it's so important. I wanted to share it with you again as we prepare to say goodbye on this network. So if you want to stay in touch, be sure you have subscribed to my newsletter, so you'll always know what's happening and where you can find me. You can go to my website at sherrydworkinsmith.com and put in your email address, and you will be all set. Okay, let me come back to the various kinds of grief. And you can always pause this playback and come back anytime you want. If you want to grab a pen or some paper and jot this down, I know this podcast will be in the archives on Ask One Radio. So especially if there's something that's resonant with you or someone you care about who might be dealing with grief, you can bookmark this episode and come back and listen to it again later. But as you listen, notice what comes into your mind and see if perhaps you maybe have been holding on to something that you didn't even realize was grief manifesting itself in your life. Our pain is trying to talk to us. It's trying to teach us, and it's trying to help us heal too. But so often we've been taught to just get through it or push it down, push it aside. I can't deal with that right now, right? The problem with that is that it eventually will come back. And that can happen in some not so pleasant ways. And that's a lot of the work that I do, helping people who have pushed things down and pushed things down for years and years, who now feel paralyzed or blocked or incapable of having these relationships or connecting with their loved ones. They are shut down and unclear about what's going on because they don't realize that what's happening in the present is connected to that thing that might have happened decades before. So some of these kinds of grief may feel familiar to you, and others may not, and that's okay. Grief manifests itself different for everyone. Some people sleep, some experience insomnia, some overeat or undereat. There's maybe malaise, acting out, being short-tempered. Dealing with grief is as individual a process as the person experiencing it. It's complicated and it's hard, and it is definitely not something with a quick fix. It takes the time it takes. And unfortunately, in our instant gratification society, people expect us to just get over our grief in the time of a 24-hour news cycle. I have clients who have lost spouses whether that happened, I also have a dog. I have clients who have lost spouses, and whether that happened several months ago or several years ago, they are still not only actively dealing with the losses, they're also dealing with people pressing them to move forward and even date. 2 months? Okay, I have two dogs. Grief makes others uncomfortable, which is why... Grief makes others uncomfortable, which is a big part of why everyone always seems so anxious for folks to move on. And unfortunately, that is just not how grief works. I do want to clarify that grief isn't just something that happens when someone we care about dies. Grief can come for us for a host of reasons other than death. Grief, we can grieve the end of a relationship, a job, moving out of our home, an impending loss, closing a chapter, and on and on. Even if these things are largely positive, we can still feel the effects of grief and sadness and loss. And so let's talk quickly about those kinds of grief. Unexpected grief is one of the more common things I talk to people about. For example, when my ex-brother-in-law passed away not that long ago, I was genuinely surprised by how much grief I felt at his passing. I never had a brother, and it was really lovely to have him in my life. And when he passed, even though he and my sister had been divorced for many years, and he had not been around us, I was really surprised at how much sadness and grief I felt. And that's unexpected grief. There's normal grief, which, to be honest, I don't really love this moniker. Grief is normal, period. And each journey is unique. So I don't know that we need something that's called normal grief, because grief is normal. Nevertheless, it's on the list. Anticipatory grief is often associated with an upcoming loss, perhaps someone who is ill and preparing to transition, or the end of a job, or an upcoming move. We know something hard is coming, so we begin to steel ourselves against the pain ahead of time. And we can fall into that grief as if the loss has already occurred, rather than enjoying the time that we may have left with that person or in that situation. Complicated grief can occur when a griefer does not move through or move forward and feels stuck in that place of intense grief and not being able to move forward, not being able to move on, which can sometimes lead to something called cumulative grief. It's where we're dealing with thing after thing after thing after thing, and that's one of the things we're seeing happening right now, that there are so many things that people are just feeling like everything is piled on, right? Delayed grief, I talked about earlier when I mentioned about my grandparents and their furniture. And exaggerated grief can come along when we are just done. We're just done. The emotions are frayed. The actions, we may become more erratic. We may lose our tempers. We may just have no more anything to give. Okay? A secondary loss, I think, is something that we don't talk about enough. The secondary loss is when we no longer get to because of. So when my grandparents passed, we no longer got to go visit them. If you are a caregiver, this can be really impactful because you're no longer driving that person or cooking for that person. There are all of these things that we used to do because that person was in our lives or that situation was in our lives, and now those things are not with us. We no longer get to do those things. We no longer get to see the people that we may have built relationships with that were associated with that person. So there are so many different places where there are secondary losses. Perhaps we no longer get to go to a restaurant that was a favorite. Quick tip, you still can. Collective grief is the last one I want to mention, because that's something, again, that we are dealing with as humans on this planet. Collective grief over global warming, gun violence, the global pandemic, cancer, war, inflation, collective grief, global anxiety, those things are very real. And that's something that we're seeing play out in real time in front of our eyes right now. This is just a quick summary of some of the more common types of grief. And the bottom line is there are many more kinds of grief, and there's not one right way to get through any of them. Through our time together, it has been my goal to bring on guests who can share with us about the various kinds of grief in their experiences. We talked with Elias, who was adopted by Greek parents, and due to their age when they adopted him, he lost them when he was a relatively young man. We met Kim, who shared her experiences of working as a death doula and what led her to that path. We spoke with Leah and Amy, who talked about how death led them to mediumship and how those losses changed their lives. And it was a truly, truly a joy to welcome my own sister onto the podcast to talk about the very complicated situation of holding a space for her son as he grieved the unexpected passing of his father, my ex-brother-in-law, while she grieved the same loss in a very different way as I did. We met Chris, who shared about losing her best friend literally right in front of her in her home, and Maureen, who lost her husband several years ago, and the different ways that they both chose to tap into higher powers to help them deal with these significant losses. And 2 weeks ago, we welcomed Laura, our last guest here on A1R, who shared some important insight about helping her sister who lost her spouse to navigate a journey she was not prepared for, and how her brother-in-law sent signs and little winks from beyond to let her know that she was not alone as well. It has been a beautiful journey here with all of you, and to share these stories of grief and compassion and strength and resilience, journey and loss, and to shine more light onto the importance of talking about grief and not keeping it all to ourselves. When we connect, we can heal. And even in listening to Anderson Cooper's podcast, he's not sharing tips or tools. It's just a conversation. And you can see how healing that can be in every episode. We need to be able to talk about our grief and not feel like we need to swallow our words. We need to cultivate spaces where our grief and our emotions are welcome. These spaces are important because if you're struggling with grief, it may not be appropriate to break out crying at work. It can put a strain on even the best of relationships when you're rightfully needing to talk about your grief again and again, because that is part of the process and how we heal. And part of the problem is we don't always have access to those spaces where our emotions are welcome, where our stories are welcome, and our grief is safely on display. Talking about it helps. It's not easy, but it does help, and that's also how we honor our loved ones who are no longer with us. Some people don't want to talk, and that's okay too. And others want to continue mentioning them, saying their name, keeping their memories at the surface. As I said, there's no right way, no wrong way to grieve. Some days will be better. Some days everything will hurt. And wherever you are today, that's okay. Remember that grief is not linear, so you may feel different on different days, and that is totally normal. I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I spent several years as a pink Cadillac driving sales director with Mary Kay Cosmetics, and Mary Kay always talked about that we're either starting a crisis, finishing a crisis, or getting ready for the next crisis to start. So whatever it is that you're working through, whatever crisis phase that you're in, I hope that you'll remember how important it is to share what you've learned here with others. If you're dealing with grief and you'd like to work with me, please know that I would be honored to help. I'm not going away, and you can easily find me and message me at my website, through my Facebook page or any of the other social media platforms. I want to thank you for being part of our mission to create a space for healing and positive change by starting some important conversations. And for more information about my services and the classes that I offer, such as Unspooling Your DNA and the Empowered Empath Method, be sure you add yourself to my email list. Thank you for spending this time with me. Thank you to A1R for hosting us. Remember, your grief is not something to be fixed. We're all in this together. And isn't that a good thing? Thanks for being with me on the journey.